1833. You see, Romana, 1833.
Early evening, certainly.
1833. I ask you. 1851. That's the opening of the Brighton Pavilion.
Well, then you won't have long to wait, will you? Oh, you mean the year is 1833?
Anno Domini.
As I said, you won't have long to wait.
What? 18 years?
The blink of a time tot's eye. Honestly, Doctor, show some Gallifreyan grit.
Well, we could always pop back inside the TARDIS and switch off the randomizer.
Switch off the randomizer?
Careful, careful. The seagulls are listening.
Doctor, I doubt the seagulls are agents of the Black Guardian.
Well, that's what they want you to think.
Oh, be that as it may, we are not switching off the randomizer. Not for 18 seconds, and certainly not for 18 years.
Pass me your deck chair.
Doctor, I didn't mean wait here.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Waiting here for the pavilion to open. Deck chair.
Ah, it's your lookout. But there's so much else we could be doing. Yeah,
such as?
Well, I've studied a little of the history of this period. We could call in on Charles Babbage.
The third-rate abacus mangler.
Or visit the Brontes in Yorkshire. I am no bird and no net ensnares me.
You die of boredom before Barnsley.
Darwin's on the Beagle. Well, then, I shall go to the continent.
You'll do what?
I'll drop in on Louis Daguerre. He can lend me a camera. Up to Copenhagen for the opening of the Tivoli Gardens, then down to Rome for the first night of Nebuchadnezzar. Don't worry, I'll send postcards.
Not before 1840, you won't.
Well, I suppose I could do the coronation first. Just to say I was there.
In London? You'll have to walk. They haven't invented the railway yet. Oh,
very well, I shall. Goodbye then, Doctor. I'll be back in 1851. You might have got that deck chair up by then.
Opening ball is the 21st of January.
I know. I've got an invitation.
Invitation? Who gave you an invitation? K-9? K-9, I need deck chair unfolding instructions. K-9! Where is that wretched dog? I've not seen him in days.
Doctor!
Back so soon, Romana. Between you and me, I think this deck chair might be some fiendish invention of you-know-who.
Never mind the deck chair, Doctor. I thought you might like to know. There's a waxworks in town.
A waxworks?
I saw a sign on the promenade. Madame Tissot's wax exposition at the new town hall all week till 10 p.m.
Oh, Romana, waxworks are my 57th most favourite thing in all the universe.
58th, surely.
You're right, Dryer. I was forgetting about the word zizigi. 10 p.m, you say? Come along, Romana. There's no time to waste.
Coming, Doctor.
Nonny? Nonny, come to me, Nonny.
Mammon, dear Mammon, please, we have visitors.
Visitors, you say? We have thieves. Nonny, snatchers of bobs.
What? Has your strongbox been broken into?
There is but one guinea and 15 shillings here. Of course it has been broken into. Summon the constabulary.
But Mammon...
Hurry! Hurry! Doubtless the perpetrator remains in the district. Ah, if it was up to me.
Mammon, listen.
I should take the miscreant by the right hand, place it on the block of my guillotine, and shoo! Ha! I would teach them. Are you still here, boy? Go, go!
Mammon, you don't understand. One guinea, 15 shillings. This is correct.
How can it be correct? That would only make it 21 to 22.
24 visitors today, Mammon. 24 admissions at 1 shilling and 6 pence each, making 1 guinea and 15 shillings all accounted for.
24 visitors? Why, is there a plague in town? Has some Vesuvius on the South Downs erupted? Why, Nonny? Why do the burghers of Brighton shun my opening?
I fear a rival attraction, Mr. Ghoul.
Idiot boy, I have no rival.
1 guinea 15 is a modest tally, I admit.
Modest? But we will be wearing rags. Mice will be dining better.
But like I have told you, Mammon, a permanent exhibition in London, as Marie Tussaud once had in Paris...
That woman!
It will mean an end to your worries, Mammon. No more of this itinerant, intransient, intransit existence. At your time of life, you've earned it.
My time of life?
Please, listen. In London, tourists would throng to see your models. The money would come to you.
There's no such thing as an easy coin, boy. Lucre must be lured from each and every purse. Come, I shall show you how business is done.
Yes, Maman.
Then he whispered, only just loud enough to hear, what with the cannon fire above and the groaning and the creaking of the Victory herself, he whispered this. Take care of my dear Lady Hamilton, Hardy. Take care of poor Lady Hamilton. Kiss me, Hardy. So I said, well, never mind all this kissing, Hardy. This storm I whipped up for you won't last long, you know. It's time to press home the advantage. And Nelson said, poor dear darling Nelson, with his last few breaths, Nelson said, go to it, Doctor, and do your duty. God bless you, Doctor. God bless you, Hardy. And God bless you too, Chief Sea Devil. And kiss me, Doctor, for without your assistance on this day, England would surely have been undone.
What is the meaning of this, sir?
Doctor.
Ah, latecomers, never mind. I'll start again. It was the 21st day of the month of October.
Remove yourself from my tableau, sir, lest you damage the exhibit.
Your tableau?
I take it this lady is Madame Marielle Tissot, proprietress of this most informative wax exposition.
I am indeed. And I demand this gentleman remove himself, else my son shall use force.
Me? Oh, but, oh, goodness.
It's quite all right, madame. The doctor was about to stand down from the display. Weren't you, doctor?
I was just pointing out the deficiencies in madame's charmingly naive representation of the death of Nelson.
Deficiencies?
Doctor, that fat fellow in the corner. Do you see?
Not now, Romana.
Oh, never mind. I'll go after him myself.
What deficiencies do you perceive precisely?
Well, for one thing, it should be my likeness kneeling here, right here, not that of some generic matelot.
There is nothing generic about Madame's tableau, sir. You slander my mother.
Oh, please, please, please. I have the utmost respect for Madame's romantic recreation of noble Nelson's heroic demise. I can't deny it. It is a work of great creative flair.
That is better.
Now, I must insist that you stand down from the platform.
But at the same time, I can't deny the fact that your Nelson is missing the wrong arm.
What?
Right, not left. I mean, one so hates to be a dreary pedant, but nevertheless...
It is well known that my wax figures are the most accurate in the all of Europe. Most, indeed, were taken from life.
What? Were you on the Victory, too? I confess, I don't recall.
I was in Paris, in the gear of the bloody revolution.
Snap.
Ignore this cretin. Turn about, ladies and gentlemen, turn about. Behind the curtain yonder, mounted on spikes, you will see the victims of Madame Guillotine, their death masks cast by these very hands. Late in the evening, once the blade had descended, shoo! It was my habit, my duty, to history, to press a coin into the hands of the night watchman of the Madeleine, so that they would turn their eyes away as I stole into the Chanel pits, as I wallowed waist deep in gore, making impressions in plaster of the faces of the great men and women of the day.
I thought that was Marie Tussaud.
Silence! 17 years old I was. when I held in his very hands the severed head of the lovely Marie Antoinette herself, once Princess of Austria and Queen of all France. And here is the head cast from that very impression. Captain Snorny. Those dancing eyes, those perfect lips.
It's gone.
What?
The head has gone.
Stolen! But the culprit is obvious. That man, that doctor. Seize him! Hold him!
Please, ladies and gentlemen, I've stolen nothing, let alone the head of Marie Antoinette. How are you, Romana? Romana?
The blonde-haired woman in the pageboy's coat. She's missing.
Of course she's missing. She was the thief. And this man was her accomplice, distracting us with drivel while she stole away my prize piece, my one irreplaceable item.
Drivel seems a little harsh.
I arrest you, Doctor, under the common law. Nonny, summon a constable.
Gah! Locked.
Well, that was rather stupid of you.
What?
Any halfway competent thief would know to check his means of egress before attempting a robbery. Now you're caught on the wrong side of a viciously spiked railing, so I strongly advise you to hand over that head.
This is none of your concern, woman.
Don't try climbing it. You're far too tubby to play at raffles.
None of your concern.
What do you want with a wax head of Marie Antoinette, anyhow? The sculptress can always cast another.
There, madam. Who is too tubby? No! No! Oh,
I did warn you.
I'm stuck.
You idiot, you've impaled yourself. Stop wriggling. You'll only cause internal damage.
I can just... Oh, no, the head.
Never mind the head. We need to cut you free. Stay there and don't move. I'm going to fetch K-9.
K-9?
My dog.
Dog? Now then.
Hold this doctor tight, good sirs.
Not too tight. You'll cut off my circulation.
A constable is on his way, Maman.
That was quick.
The police station is in the basement of this very building.
Ah, you know, if I were a halfway competent thief, I'd have thought to have checked that before attempting a robbery.
But you are not a competent thief.
See? He admits it.
What would I want with the wax head of Marie Antoinette? Anyhow, eh? I presume that Madame here could always cast another.
That's what I said.
His accomplice!
Caesar! Nonny! Caesar!
I beg your pardon?
I wouldn't do that if I were you, Nonny.
Why?
My friend Romana will give you one of her looks. You know, her godmother was Medusa. You wouldn't like it, Nonny, if Romana gave you one of her looks.
Oh, never mind all that. The person who stole Marie Antoinette's head is in trouble.
Indeed. The police are on their way. It will mean transportation for both of you.
Oh, for goodness sake. Follow me. I'll show you.
Well, come on, then.
Well, where's he gone?
Maman, the head!
Fetch it, Nonny, fetch it!
Alas, our light-fingered friend seems to have hightailed it over the gates.
He tried, only in the process he managed to spike himself.
Oh, good. I mean, oh dear.
Quite. There's no blood. Why isn't there any blood?
Here, Mama, here she is.
Idiot ear. She is intact, thank heaven.
Well, then, no harm done. So perhaps these two spirited gentlemen might see fit to let me go. Thank you.
Wait! Wait! A crime has been committed.
Mama, we may be outside, but the head did not leave the premises.
True enough, friend. Nonny, did I hear?
Ronan Tissot. Nonny is just what Mama has always called me.
To think you must be all of 40 years old. Bless. Romana, we're leaving.
We're doing nothing of the sort. Doctor, there's no blood.
Well, perhaps our head snatcher only scratched himself.
Doctor, he was shish kebabbed.
And there's no blood?
Well, simply no way he could have got himself off those spikes. Not without leaving his innards behind.
Ah. What's this on the bars?
I don't know. Some kind of waxy residue? There's more of it on the other side of the gate.
Yes, leading towards that storm drain.
Doctor, are you suggesting that our thief just melted away?
I am. And poured himself down the drain.
Good. I'd hate to think you'd missed the obvious solution.
But the obvious question remains unanswered. Madame Tissot?
What do you want?
The answer to the obvious question. Obviously.
But what would the thief want with a wax head of Marie Antoinette when you could always cast another?
Ha! But not before tomorrow, as well your master knows.
His master, maman?
Ghoul, you fool! Ghoul! It is as plain as the wart on your nose.
Ghoul?
Maman's rival... competition.
What? The owner of another waxworks?
On the east side of town. Ghoul's Gallery of Ghouls, it's called.
A tawdry sideshow. It brings my craft into disrepute. All vulgar recreations of the bloodiest episodes of history.
Ah, unlike your own entirely sensitive recreations of the bloodiest episodes in history, n'est-ce pas, madame?
Bien sûr.
This ghoul.
Spelled G-O-O-L-E.
What?
G-O-O-L-E. And his gallery of G-H-O-U-L-S.
Madame, this ghoul, is he a rounded gentleman, about 30, with a waxed moustache?
As well you both know. You give your master a message. Madame Mireille Tissot laughs at his pitiful effort to sabotage my grand opening.
I'm sorry, you've lost us.
Tomorrow night, Mammon's exposition will be graced by a regal visitor, His Majesty's sister.
Ah, so this ghoul took Madame's prize piece to spoil her big night.
The man I saw fitted the description.
Come along, Mammon, there's nothing more we can do.
Go to your master, friend doctor, and tell him you have failed. Tell him also that I cock my snook at him.
Cock your what? Ah, Romana, what are you doing?
If we leave by the front way, we'll only have some tiresome official to answer to.
Are you thinking of paying a visit to Mr. G-O-O-L-E?
Y-E-S. Would you care to join me?
You know me, Romana. I do love a waxwork.
By the king's look alone, the crowd was silenced. Then, in full voice, he declared, I die innocent of all the crimes laid to my charge. I pardon those who have occasioned my death, and I pray to God that the blood you will shed may never be visited on France. The drums began to beat. Then the executioner seized with violence this most virtuous of kings and dragged him under the axe of the guillotine. The crowd held their breath in expectation and... Perfect.
My lady, are you here?
I am here, all alone, oiling la guillotine. An essential duty that you, ghoul, persist in neglecting.
This nostalgia is a sickness. My lady, those temps are perdus. La guillotine is no longer enough. A momentary thrill, nothing more. We need greater horrors still. Horrors to make the gullet constrict and eject the stomach's contents.
That is not art.
We are not here to make art. We're here to create sensation. Now, tell me. How is the torture of Guy Fawkes coming along?
Oh, the rack is over-tensed. The limbs, they keep on snapping. You must give me more material.
I cannot. Not today.
Why? Why is that? What have you been up to?
I did it for us, for the good of the gallery.
Tell me plainly, ghoul.
There is a rival exposition in town, newly arrived for a short season.
Who? Who is it? Mrs. Charnley? Marie Tussaud?
Madame Tissot.
Tissot? Her reputation, c'est formidable.
Such a competitor could decimate our takings, more so with royal patronage.
Royal patronage? Who? Who?
The king's sister. Tomorrow night. That is why I sought to spoil the occasion.
Spoil? How?
I thought if I took away Madame's prize specimen...
You mean the head?
Of course, the head.
Where is it? I must have it.
Alas, I dropped it.
What? But did you damage it?
I don't know. I was in a hurry to get away. Some strange woman, dressed, I think, as a page boy. She saw me take it and followed me out.
But you killed her.
It wasn't necessary. She went to get help. And in that time, I had the opportunity
to... You were seen, ghoul. Seen. This woman will have given your description to these new constables in town.
Possibly.
Idiot ghoul. You have imperiled everything.
Nearly there. Do keep up, Romana.
Doctor, you do realize this gallery will be closed for the night?
Well, it doesn't mean we can't take a look round.
Oh, so you intend breaking and entering?
We are already suspected of thievery. Give a dog a bad name.
And one ends up with canine, yes. Oh, come on, let's get this over with.
Just a minute. Romana... Do you realize the carriage behind us followed us all the way back from the seafront?
Of course.
Good.
It's Madame and her idiot son, doubtless intent on catching us in the act of reporting back to Mr. Ghoul.
Ah, well, it would be a shame to disappoint them, don't you think? Come on.
There they go, straight to the ghoul's gallery.
You don't suppose they've seen us, do you, ma'am?
Brazen they are. Quite brazen.
We should fetch a constable, really we should.
Why so nervous, boy?
These are criminals, Mamma. They might do anything were we to confront them ourselves.
Then it is just as well we are not without protection.
What do you mean, no? Oh, Mamma, that is Dick Turpin's blunderbuss.
It was not always a theatrical property, Nonny. Take it. It's just too heavy for my hands.
Mamma, this piece cannot have been fired in 50 years. Were I to trigger it, would it blow up in my face? No, Maman, this is too rich for my blood. Driver! We will return to the new town hall to fetch a constable.
You do as you will, boy.
Maman, what are you doing?
I am away to beard these villains in their den, since you don't have the art for it.
Maman, no! Driver, return to the new town hall and fetch a constable here, do you understand? Maman, wait for me!
Yeah, that's got the fella.
Looks as if the carriage is heading off.
Wait, Mamma!
Oh, no.
Low villains! Despicable rogues! Ah, but I knew it.
Madame Tissot, such a pleasure to see you again.
Common rascal, confess. Admit your part in this scheme to ruin my reputation.
Doctor, she's got a gun.
More than just a gun. She's clutching Dick Turpin's blunderbuss.
Indeed.
By the look of it, it can't have been cleaned for nigh on 50 years.
Madame, the kickback from that would take your ears off.
Do you think so?
I tried to tell her, but she wouldn't listen. Mamma, give me that.
What? Idiot boy, get it back.
Careful with that very fine piece, though I'm sure it's easily fixed. May I?
Of course.
What? But what are you doing? You have given him the gun.
Oh, never fear, Madame. I have no intention of firing it.
It's just as well.
Well, Romana, take that.
I don't want the blasted thing.
No, but I can trust you not to fire it. You keep watch here with this ninny.
It's Nonny, Doctor.
Thank you, Romana.
No need, Nonny. I know what I said. Keep watch here while Madame and I investigate the gallery.
I will not enter this one of vulgarity with you.
Oh, suit yourself, Madame. I just thought you might like to take a look around, eh? If I'm not back in 5 minutes, worry.
And if you're not back in 10?
Wear black.
There, again. Someone is at the gallery entrance.
It can only be the constabulary. Fear not. I see a way to divert them.
How?
Please, mademoiselle, I was not expecting to do this again so soon.
How long has he been?
Less than a minute. I'm not even perturbed.
Perhaps one ought to follow this Dr. Einstein after all.
Mama, no.
I admit I am curious to see what it is all about, this Gould gallery that so distracts from my own exposition.
But it's not safe for you.
It's all right, Nonny. The doctor will ensure no harm comes to your mother, whatever Gould's intentions.
Oh, what does it matter? I sent the driver for a constable. He'll be here soon enough.
Oh, that's all we need.
Doctor, the way upstairs is locked. There's only...
Down here, Madame Tissot. Down into the cellar of terror.
The cellar of...
That's what the sign says anyway. Careful. It's rather dim.
It is lit, nonetheless.
Yes. Which rather suggests we're not alone down here, Nespa.
There's someone behind you.
What? Pip. Oh, it's only old Sanson.
The executioner.
Cellar of the Terror would be the more accurate description. Here they all are. The revolting citizens, the tricoteurs with their knitting, the execution party.
And the king himself. I confess, the waxworking is finer than I expected.
Careful, that's a Louise's. And here she is, Madame la Guillotine.
A working model?
An original, to judge by the blue stains on the blade.
Doctor, did you hear?
Oh, that's only Sanson again.
The figures, they're coming alive.
Ah, they're not alive. They're just automata.
Mechanicals, like the chess-playing Turgovian.
To Mr. Gould's commercial advantage, evidently.
Tawdry trickery. Cogs and springs. Glasswork!
I'd have said so, too. But don't look now. Citizen Sanson has just taken a step forward.
Someone's coming.
Hello, hello, hello.
Ah, the constable I call for, thank goodness. Constable Mammon, Madame Tissot and I, we are in need of urgent assistance.
That's not the constable you called, Nonny.
What's all this, then?
The constable you called would have come from down the hill.
Does it matter?
I was just passing by on my rounds. What are you doing with that blunderbuss, miss?
What, this blunderbuss?
Well, let him have it, then.
With pleasure.
Thank you, miss.
My, you are a fat old policeman, aren't you?
Romana!
I recognised you at once. Oh, you've changed your face, of course. It was your voice that gave you away, Mr. Ghoul.
I confess, that may have been an oversight.
Tell me, what kind of entity are you, exactly?
Romana, this is an officer of the law.
Forgive me, sir, I'm an alien.
Oh, that's quite all right. Mammon is a foreigner, too.
Up against the wall, both of you.
I don't follow.
He means to shoot us, Nonny.
What? With that blunderbuss?
With this here blunderbuss, indeed.
But you mustn't!
If Mr. Ghoul wishes to fire that blunderbuss, there's not a lot we can do to stop him, is there?
No.
Go ahead, Mr. Ghoul. Do your worst.
Oh, ma'am.
Automata, they're walking.
Rather more than clockwork, I think.
Pushing us back into some graveyard tableau.
Ah, the Madeleine. I'm having a remembrance.
They will push us into the pit.
Do not be afraid, Madame Tissot.
Who said that? Who spoke?
Cease!
Voice control. That's really very impressive.
Silence. It is Madame Tissot, is it not? Madame Marielle Tissot?
It is... Do I know you, mademoiselle?
Let me come closer, madame. Closer. Into the light. Do you not remember? All those years ago? Here? In the lime pits of the Madeleine?
It cannot be.
Come now, you're forgetting your manners. That's no way to greet Her Majesty, the Archduchess of Austria, the Queen of France and Navarre, Madame Déficit herself.
Marie Antoinette!
Blunderbuss, it blew up in Gould's hand.
I'm afraid that was inevitable.
No, it blew up Gould's hand.
Oh, don't worry, it'll reform in a moment. Won't it, Mr. Gould?
What are you? Where do you come from?
Funny, I was about to ask the same of you.
I will tell you nothing.
She's bleeding. Bleeding wax.
Oh, no, you don't.
Jack. Oh.
Melted. Liquefied himself. That's how he got off those spikes at the back of the town hall. And that's how he got away. By pouring himself down a nearby drain. Quick! We need to block it! Nonny! Oh, don't tell me the idiot's fainted. And you needn't sound so pleased about it, Mr. Ghoul.
Not the real Marie Antoinette, of course.
Of course. Am I not the very image of that lovely queen? Am I not radiant?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I would know about irradiated, however.
Pardon?
A harmless disturbance of the praxis field around the joints, typical of an over-cranked automaton.
And invisible to the human eye. You interest me, Doctor.
I flatter myself that I can be mildly diverting on a good day.
Doctor, are you saying this Marie Antoinette is an impersonator?
An android, a mechanical, albeit of a far greater order of sophistication than the crude clockwork toys she controls.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. That was sarcasm. You are chipped for sarcasm.
You are impressed?
No. Tell me. What's a sarcastic android doing impersonating Marie Antoinette in Brighton in 1833?
It is plain, is it not? She wishes to supplant me, to lure me to this cellar of terror, so she might steal my identity and receive royal patronage.
This was not my intention at first.
Aha.
I have been hidden away in this dungeon for so very long, perfecting my art, honing my craft. I crave acknowledgement.
Well, who doesn't?
Once in Paris, the ghoul and I mixed with high society, with duchesses and dukes, not the common herd.
I've told you before, this nostalgia is a sickness.
Ah, Mr. Ghoul.
Doctor, his face.
Yes, he's not quite finished reconstituting himself. I'm sure he'll firm up into something like normal.
Ghoul. Was there trouble outside?
The woman, the aristo, Marie, she is not of this world.
Her associate, neither.
What? This itinerant?
Where's Romana now, ghoul? What have you done with my Romana?
I meant to shoot the idiot boy she was with, to force her to talk.
My nonny?
No need to worry, madame. I suspect the plan quite literally backfired, didn't it, you ghoul?
Yes. Marie, do you see? These two could be our passport away from this world, our way back home.
Ah, and where is home exactly?
Constellation 18 by 33 from Galactic Zero Center.
Constellation 18 by 33 from Galactic Zero Center? What? That's Slough.
Could they not take the railway?
Ah, the Slough, madame. The Slough of Despond, a particularly miserable little backwater.
I know. My first husband was at school there. We once spent a whole week there. No interest. Could you not take them back?
Doctor, you have some form of transport, do you not?
My TARDIS, yes.
Then you can take us home.
Ah, well, I was rather hoping to stick around a while longer.
Marie, do you see? We are saved. Saved!
The trouble is, my TARDIS has a randomizer, and that means I can't take you anywhere in particular. Well, not unless I switch off the randomizer, of course, but then I might end up in all sorts of trouble with this rather nasty guardian chap, or worse. My friend Romana might give me one of her looks.
What?
Oh, yes, she's a terrific looker. Alternatively, I could call the Time Lords for assistance, but if I call the Time Lords for assistance, they'll take my friend Romana away from me, looks and all.
That is no concern of ours.
Well, so you see, I'm afraid I just can't help you. Come along, madame.
We are leaving.
Yes, some petty feud between two rival waxworks owners, whatever their origin, is of no concern of mine. You'll have to find some way to rub along together, and that's all.
No!
Let go of my arm, mechanical creature!
I've told you, Mary Androidette, we are leaving.
Doctor, you are free to depart, but as I told the madame, I crave acknowledgement.
They have become like knives.
I crave your artistic eye also. Hold still while I pluck it out.
Stop! Stop! No plucking!
You'll do it then? You will transport us away?
I was perfectly willing to turn a blind eye to your presence here, both of you. But if you intend to harm the madame, then I can't afford to be lenient.
It is not your business. We shall do as we please. Come, my automata. Come, Sanson. Come, Robespierre. Seize this doctor.
Oh, Robespierre, you're looking well. Sorry, no time for a Giorgio.
Take him to la guillotine.
What? Your robotic majesty, I protest.
This is not advisable, Marie.
Go after the woman, Romana, ghoul. She can take you back to the slough. I, however, have business with the madame.
Oh, no. Please don't hurt my...
Oh, well, I must say this is indecent haste. Sanson, Robespierre, good citizens, take your time. My decapitation is for one night only. What? Don't I even get to make a speech? I have here in my pocket a piece of paper. I keep one prepared for these occasions. I die innocent of all the crimes laid to my charge. I pardon those who have occasioned my death, and please, will someone look after my dog? Wait, wait. P.S. Romana can have my stamps. But that's it. I do wish I'd written something longer. Good tricoteurs with your netting. I don't suppose you'd run me up a scarf as a last request. Only make it a very, very long scarf. Perhaps 300 meters?
Wait! Wait!
Mr. Gould! Ooh, thank heavens! Do you bring a reprieve?
No, I came to watch.
Ah, naturally. You're a G-H-O-U-L. You're a ghoul.
We've established this. Carry on, Sanson.
No, stop. The Slough. I'm thinking of the fourth planet from the left, inhabited by an intelligent but tragically amorphous amoeboid species.
Correct.
No physical form, so no pain and no pleasure. All sense, no feeling. The horror of it all, the horror. That's what brought you to Earth, isn't it, ghoul? To experience extreme sensation. Even at the second hand.
To witness death, Doctor. To record it, to collect it, and to return it home.
Record it in the memory banks of your android, of course.
Hold still, madame, while I engage my camera.
Madwoman, this will do you no good. Please.
Wait. This eye is diseased.
I cannot see as well as once I could.
The optic nerve is irreparable. There is no information to be extracted from
then it. Then labels be.
Curious. Your voice has changed.
I'm old. I can't say. My hands tremble. My son does what he can.
You are not what you claim to be, Madame Tissot.
I was born in Wolverhampton. I was never in Paris. I never stole into a graveyard to cast no one's death mask. That was Madame Tussaud, the item there.
Your legend is a lie.
That woman sending her solicitors after me, accusing me of passing off a Meccan living, that's all.
You are a fraud, Madame Tissot.
Mary Barnes. My name is Mary Barnes, and I'm a sideshow owner from the Midlands, and I'm old.
You chose well, Gould, to pitch up in Paris at the time of the terror.
There were rich pickings, yes. Those were good times. But one day I, too, was labelled a counter-revolutionary and found my own neck on the block.
I sympathise.
The android retrieved me from the lime pit of the Madeleine. But with our transit vehicle impounded and lost, she and I were forced to flee.
On a packet boat to Brighton.
This is what we have been reduced to. Representing the horrors of 40 years past to tourists, creaming what we can from their terror. It is no kind of life. Executioner, continue.
Hold on. Shouldn't Mari be here to record this?
She has lost interest. I fear her programming has become corrupted.
Too busy honing her craft, making those models from, what, your own excess?
It's extremely pliable, I'm told. Now, I am ready. Sanson!
One last question, please.
What?
Why Marie Antoinette?
I don't know. That is the form she took for herself. I wonder why also.
I can tell you.
Good, I should like to know. Ah, you!
Of course, me.
Romana, have you been eavesdropping?
Oh, I have, rather.
Sanson, execute the doctor.
Oh, no, you don't.
Sanson, leave Robespierre alone. What have you done, woman?
Her crude clockwork brains are easily scrambled.
You meddlesome hussy. Marie!
Well, where's he off to?
Gone to fetch the toymaker, I expect.
Oh, sorry. Do you need some help getting out of that contraption?
I do.
Oh.
There's a catch.
There always is. Got it.
Ah, thank you. You could have stepped in sooner.
What? When our friend Mr. Gould was being so informative.
I see. I was thinking you might be after my stamps. Madame Tissot! Madame Tissot!
Mary Barnes. Your name is Mary Barnes.
Do you go telling my nonny mind? He thinks his father was a dashing young English spy who got himself executed. Not Fred the pieman's boy. Had to run away to London when I got myself in trouble, of course.
In trouble?
Never mind my trouble. French was all the fashion then. The accent was worth an extra shilling back then when I was working the fairs. A waxwork owner fell in love with me. Left me the lot when he died of the dropsy. I was a bright little thing then.
I knew what the public wanted.
You are not an artist. You are a fraud.
Marie! The woman, the aristo, she's come back.
I do not care.
You're an android, of course you don't. She's made your automata mad. Stop them! Stop them getting away!
We're not going anywhere.
What?
Not without Madame Tissot.
Take her. She is not an artist. She is from Wolverhampton.
Ah.
I do not know what this Marie Antoinette is saying. She is mad in the head.
Well, she might just have a screw loose. Fortunately, I have just the thing.
What was that?
Doctor, what frequency is your sonic screwdriver set to?
I don't know, some parahertz or other.
Because I think you just accidentally overclocked some already overclocked automata.
Let me check.
An explosion! My citizen!
I'm terribly sorry. I seem to have blown their heads off.
The whole place is alight!
But this is a waxwork!
We noticed.
My life's work destroyed! I have no purpose now.
Everybody out! Hurry!
I do not need telling twice.
You too, robot.
No! I return to my rightful place in the light pit of the Madeleine.
Don't be ridiculous.
Come on, Romana.
Wait!
Take your hands off me, Ghoul.
You said you knew why my android took the form of Marie Antoinette. Why?
Well, why do you think? Because she thought it looked very nice on the Queen.
You can't go round wearing copies of bodies for no reason.
Of course you can.
Now let me go.
Then it's true. She is mad. She has gone mad.
Go!
Oh dear. Mama!
Mind!
Put me down, Doctor! Down!
I am fully qualified to give you a fireman's lift, madame. I have a diploma from Pew Pew, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert Dibble and Grub.
Mama, are you well?
Quite well, Nonny. It was so dark with the smoke and the noise of the androids.
What?
Ah, Romana! Come on, Romana!
Ah, the constabulary at last.
Never mind the flat feet.
Call an engine! Pour on water! Fire!
Nonny, take my scarf!
Why?
I'm going back for Romana.
Into that inferno, are you insane?
Probably. Romana, here. Take my hand. Do you need a carry? I have a diploma from Pew Pew, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert Dibble and Grub. I'll take that as a no. Make room, everybody. Make room.
Romana, my dear. Ghoul and the Metal Mary.
There was an explosion.
No, save your breath, my dear. I think it is safe to say I have no more competition.
Mama, our driver has returned. Driver!
Come, Romana, dear. Let us take you back into town.
We can't just leave.
We can do nothing here.
TARDIS.
What is this TARDIS again? I believe your friend needs it.
Yes. Taxi! Taxi! That'll do. Thank you, coachman. Thank you, lady.
But, doctor, should we not take the Mademoiselle Romana to a doctor?
The doctor is a doctor, mama.
I'll be fine.
My ship is on the beach. Quick spell in sick bay, you'll be as right as rain, won't you, Romana?
Yes.
Ship? I see no ships.
Now, that'd make a simply marvelous tableau. But remember, patch over the right eye, not the left. Au revoir, Madame Tissot.
Goodbye, Doctor.
This way, Romana. Drive on, driver! home again, jickety-jig. K-9. What's the point of having a dog if he doesn't rush to the door to greet you, tail wagging? Mind the doors, Romana. Doors!
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, miles away. Still, I'm not surprised. You had something of a squeaker back there.
A squeaker, yes. Let's be gone from this place, Doctor.
Are you sure? 18 years sea air will be just the thing for those sore lungs of yours?
I wish to be gone from here. Please.
Well, if you insist. Let's hope potluck takes us somewhere good and clean and reviving. It's been a while since I was last in Bonnie Scotland.
Anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Course set in at... Ah.
Problem?
Silly me. I nearly forgot to re-engage the randomizer. And it wouldn't do not to re-engage the randomizer, would it? The Beige Guardian would just pounce on us. Roar.
Never mind the Beige Guardian. Just launch this thing, will you?
Launch? Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Don't mention it. The thing was, you forgot to cough, Mr. Ghoul.
What?
Your jaw dropped when you saw the vastness of the TARDIS, and it quite slipped your mind to keep on with the cough. Where's Romana? Where's Romana, Ghoul? I said, where's Romana?
Where do you think?
Your lady friend burned, of course, burned to death alongside my defective android.
There is much cosmetic rearrangement to be done, Nonny. Pit the elder looks too young, Pitt the younger looks too old.
Yes, Mama.
Cromwell's what needs picking out.
Yes, Mama.
No one remembers Colonel Despard now. Swap his wig with Baron's, the noble lord, as a lady's heir.
Of course, Mama.
The necks of the heads on spikes need freshening with cochineal. They're looking scabby.
Absolument, Mama. Oh.
What is it, boy?
Marie Antoinette's head. It has gone again.
Over here.
What the devil?
Oh.
Forgive me, madame. The Lady Romana is helping me replace my face.
Hold still while I solder the other eye. There, pretty as a picture. Say, let them eat cake.
Pardon?
Never mind.
You have placed my Antoinette head on the carcass of this metal hussy.
Her real face melted in our escape from the cellar, and she could hardly go wandering the streets of Brighton looking like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, could she?
I remember no Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Well, you wouldn't.
I don't understand how she is wandering the streets of Brighton at all.
Nor you, for that matter.
Oh, come on. There had to be a conduit leading from the cellar of terror to the drains, both in the courtyard here and outside the gallery.
That is not what I meant.
How else would Ghoul have poured himself in and out of the gallery without anyone noticing?
You don't understand.
Bit of a squeeze, but the android agreed to help me access them in exchange for a certain favour.
Fixing her head?
Mais non.
Yes, well, I'll leave you two to discuss that between yourselves. Now then, where's the doctor? He'll be worried.
The doctor? You should know. He has gone to his ship with you.
What?
10 minutes ago, we saw him.
That is what I've been trying to tell you.
But Romana has been by my side all the time.
Oh, no.
Ghoul.
This is pointless, Doctor. Your friend will be toast crumbs by now.
There's still a chance. I can materialize the TARDIS in the heart of the Inferno.
What about your randomizer? Your Time Lords?
Never mind my Time Lords.
Not me in there, that's... Oh, Doctor.
No, you stupid machine. We have to rescue Romana.
Is your machine always this unreliable?
It's not unreliable. The hostile action displacement system will not allow it to materialize in the heart of a blaze.
Oh, and I suppose you can't switch that off either.
Well, of course I can. It's just that right now I can't quite remember it. K-9?
You're angry. No, you're grieving.
I've not given up yet. Dog whistle! Dog whistle!
Her fair skin charred and blackened, turned to freak.
Shut up, ghoul. Where's that whistle?
It fascinates me so, your grief. I want to drink it all in. Meld with me, Doctor.
Take your tendrils away from me.
Let me burrow my senses into your brain. Let me feel your pain. Let me glut myself on your mortal miseries.
Careful you don't bite off more than you can chew.
I can feel it all, Doctor. Grief past, grief present, grief yet to come. Oh, the deaths you've seen. Deaths by sword, deaths by bullet, deaths by bomb, deaths by... What is that?
Extermination.
The deaths of animals, birds, fish, reptiles, people, planets, stars. You're not a lord of time. You're a lord of death.
Enjoy it while you can.
I feel cold. So cold. Why do I feel cold?
You tell me, Ghoul.
It is cold. It is freezing. You have made it cold in here, in your ship.
I switched on the thermal extractors minutes ago, Ghoul. What you're feeling is the cold of limbo, of interstitial space. -18.3 Celsius and falling. How does that feel, Ghoul?
Celsius?
In old money, -0.1 Fahrenheit.
Why are you doing this?
I'm freezing you, Ghoul. That's the trouble with you amorphoids. Fine at room temperature, but without separate internal organs to keep your insides centrally heated, you become inert.
Is this dying? I want to feel it. I can't feel it. I can't feel anything. I can't.
Oh, well. continent it is, then. But some other time, perhaps.
Romana, safe and sound.
Why, did you doubt it?
Well, drains, obviously.
Well, how else could Ghoul have poured himself in and out of the gallery?
Well, that, and I can smell you from here.
Oh, yes, I suppose. You've had the thermal extractors on.
Yes, allow me to present Mr. Ghoul.
Completely inert, I see.
Oh, yeah, that's the trouble with a morphoid species. Fine at room temperature, but without...
Well, quite. The question is, what are we going to do with him?
I have an idea.
By the king's look alone, the crowd was silenced. Then, in full voice, he declared, "I die innocent of all the crimes laid to my charge. I pardon those who have occasioned my death, and I pray to God that the blood you will shed may never be visited on France."
The poor man. Pray, continue.
The drums began to beat. Then the executioner seized with violence this most virtuous of kings and dragged him under the axe of the guillotine. The crowd held their breath in expectation and...
Shoop!
Shoop!
Shoop! Now, tell me, how was it with Citizen Robespierre?
Would somebody get the doors, please? A bulky item coming through.
Nonny!
Yes, Baron.
Chop, chop, this thing's heavy. You all right back there with the feet?
Just get a move on, Nonny.
Merciful heavens, what is that?
Back a bit more. Mind the head!
That is a head?
Touch misshapen and monstrous, but a head nonetheless.
It is Ghoul.
So it is.
It'll do. Now, upright.
It will help the Lady Romana.
Oh, of course.
No. There. How's that, madame?
It is quite repulsive.
That's the point.
Romana and I were wondering if you might have any use for it.
As an exhibit, he means.
Well, I mean, you'll have to take care not to let it get too warm. Somewhere dark and out of the way. Your own cellar of terror, perhaps.
I could not put my precious name to so vulgar a conceit.
That was Ghoul's idea. I did not approve. But it was what your British public wanted.
True. No one was ever made bankrupt by underestimating the poor taste of the common art.
Perhaps we could think of another name for such a sub-exposition, Maman.
Such as?
Oh, I don't know. Dungeon of Despair? Oubliette of Awfulness?
Keep going, Nonny. I'm sure you'll get there in the end.
I take it, madame, that you and the robot have come to an arrangement?
She will not betray my secrets. I shall not betray hers.
On that basis, we have entered into a partnership.
She has the hands of a true artist. She will help me build an all new gallery of figure sculptures.
I flatter myself that I can be quite the attraction in my own right. No longer hidden away. I shall be a sensation, like the Mechanical Turk.
Well, since you all seem happy enough...
What, are you leaving?
Oh, you must stay for tonight's gala opening, of course.
Oh, I'd love to, Nonny. Really, I would, Nonny. But Romana and I have a terribly urgent appointment in about 18 years' time.
What? The opening of the pavilion? You're still going on about that, but don't you remember?
Shh!
Au revoir, madame. I wish you every success.
Adieu, surely.
Ah, so you noticed it too?
Disturbances of the praxis field around the joints?
Of course.
That android's leaking power like nobody's business. I doubt it'll last to the end of the season.
Still, what a season.
Will you not reconsider?
Please, Doctor.
No, you see, the fact of the matter is I've quite gone off waxworks.
Come along, Doctor.
Goodbye. Goodbye, all.
Aha! Chamber of Horrors!
Oh, idiot boy.
Thank you. Coming soon from Big Finish Productions. Doctor Who, The Fourth Doctor Adventures, The Trouble with Drax.
There, Brighton, 1851. Hopefully the atmosphere will prove a little more cordial on this occasion.
We're constantly visiting the same cities on the same planets.
What's happening?
Master, course is being directed by an outside influence.
Hello? Anybody home?
Step away from your TARDIS, Time
Lord. Oh, no!
All right, boys, there he is. Fugitive Drax, you have been positively identified.
Drax?
Doctor! And Princess Astra have been improving on that stuffy ice maiden you used to hang around with, eh, Doc?
I think not.
Why not?
Because I am that stuffy ice maiden.
Well, this is awkward.
K-9, stun them!
Non-operational, mistress.
I believe it's called a state of grace. Time Lord technology, according to Drax.
Drax, you didn't.
I did. Even told him how to allow strategic exceptions, didn't I?
Drax, why are we here?
Alcazar.
Alcazar.
The legendary city, lost to eternity. A metropolis erased from history so completely that only time-sensitives have any suspicion it was ever there.
What would you say if I told you that not only do I know where Alcazar is, but I've got a map that can take us there? Wow, that's a bit out of the ordinary.
Isn't it?
And the shadows.
People who once were, who'll never be. Ghosts lost in the mists of time.
Big Finish. We love stories.
Ah, 1833. Do you see, Romana? 1833.
Early evening, certainly.
Hello, Tom Baker here again.
My name is Lala Ward, and I play Romana.
I thought you might like to know. There's a waxworks in town.
A waxworks? It's the style of things that people love, isn't it? This good mixture of great good humour and a good thrill, a good thrilling, thrilling plot. And it's all... It's light and then suddenly quite shockingly sincere, isn't it? You know, and you care, me caring about Romana or the dog being rather pathetic. John Leeson is very good at that. So I think we're getting it right.
I wallowed waist deep in gore, making impressions in plaster of the faces of the great men and women of the day.
I thought that was Marie Tussaud.
Silence!
If you were to drive past Madame Tussaud's any day, you see this massive queue, and I find it quite interesting that people, as a matter of fact, apparently still do go to Madame Tussaud's. It's still there. It hasn't melted. I used to live round the corner, more or less. My parents both worked in Broadcasting House, so I lived just off Devonshire Street, which is very, very near. And we would go to Madame Tussaud's, and I remember the happy occasion when we were deemed old enough and less likely to be intimidated by it and being allowed to go into the Chamber of Horrors for the first time. And I loved Madame Tussaud's. I absolutely adored going there.
Seize him! Hold him!
Please, ladies and gentlemen, I've stolen nothing, let alone the head of Marie Antoinette. How are you, Romana? Romana?
There was an exhibition to do with Doctor Who many years ago, and they wanted to do a model of me for Madame Tussaud's.
It was absolutely amazing to be in Madame Tussaud's, and I suppose they've still got my head. I don't think that they melt the heads down, just in case there's a revival, you know.
There was a darling old man in there also working on waxworks, and he was doing redoing the tableau of Henry VIII and his six wives. And he was so sweet, and he said to me, "Do you know, it's simply wonderful that Henry VIII married so often, because I've got work for a year." It was just so sweet. It was gorgeous. Anyway, and I had a lovely time. I loved being there. I was utterly fascinated by all the workings and the goings-on. And at the end of it, what I loved most of all was that I got to have Audrey Hepburn's body, because they decided to make a new one for her. And I thought, oh, well, I'm in good company here. I don't mind. I'd much rather have Audrey Hepburn's body than my own. Hooray. But because of all the delay, it wasn't ready for the opening of the exhibition. And I had seen years before on Candid Camera, if anybody remembers a programme called Candid Camera, Arthur Askey did this wonderful gig where he sat in Madame Tussaud's pretending to be a waxwork, except every so often he'd blink or scratch his nose. And you saw all these old ladies and things going by and they'd say, "Here, He moved. And the other one said, no, he didn't. Don't be so stupid. Everybody thinks that. He's a waxwork. No, he moved. No, he didn't. He did. He didn't. You know, and he'd wait so that the one would turn back and he'd keep dead still. And the other one would say, no, he did, because he'd moved when only she was looking. And it was wonderful. So I said to these people, look, you know, this is being filmed for Nationwide or one of those after the news sort of programmes. And it's for children. Why don't I do what Arthur Askey did? My waxwork isn't ready. I'll go and sit there pretending to be a waxwork and do exactly the same thing. And they said, oh, no, that's much too difficult to set up. We can't be bothered with that. So we didn't do that. But I thought the children would have adored it.
What is the meaning of this, sir?
Doctor.
Ah, latecomers, never mind. I'll start again. It was the 21st day of the month of October.
Remove yourself from my tableau, sir.
I'm Celia Imrie, and I've got the great pleasure of playing Madame Mireille Tissot, who is a rather wonderful self-made waxwork owner. It's fascinating, and I'm loving it.
I held in these very hands the severed head of the lovely Marie Antoinette herself.
There have been times when you kind of dipped toes in the sci-fi pond or the genre. Very recently, of course, we saw you in Doctor Who. And I was just wondering how that came about.
Yes, it's funny. I remember my friend Penelope Wilton being brilliant in Doctor Who, and I was thinking, actually, it's become very fashionable to be in it, and I would love to be. And I remember sort of making a vague inquiry, might I please be in it? Because actually, you've got to ask these days. If you don't ask, you never know. But Miss Kislet came out of sort of left field, and I was thrilled to play it. And not only that, but I met a gentleman. Oh, actually, he was the conductor on the train last weekend, even. And he said he loved the way that Miss Kislet went from a domineering, fierce villainess to becoming a child on sitting cross-legged on the floor. And it was lovely that he'd sort of enjoyed the path that she took, which, of course, was part of the reason I liked the part too.
Gah! Locked!
Well, that was rather stupid of you.
What?
My name is Nicholas Grace, and I'm playing the ghoul, or ghoul.
Now you're caught on the wrong side of a viciously spiked railing, so I strongly advise you to hand over that head.
This is none of your concern, woman.
Well, an amorphous mass of gunk. I try to just envisage what that mass of gunk is like, really. So think physically about the splurge and splog of it all and see what voice comes out. And Ken, the director, has been very good at saying, oh, well, do try it a little bit more evil. So it's really just playing with the voice and trying to make a sound that creates an amorphous mass for myself, which I hope conveys itself to the audience.
Now then.
Well, it was wonderful just to go up for a part in Doctor Who. I wasn't quite sure what the project was, and I thought, well, I've always wanted to be in Doctor Who. And I can say it now, because it's too late. I've always wanted to be Doctor Who, ever since I saw William Hartnell, you know. And my dad, he said, God, you'd be a wonderful Doctor Who. And anyway, I never got up for it. So to be asked to go in for the interview for this one-off special, whatever it was, and I didn't know what it was, and then find out it was written by the fan group or whatever, and the part was Einstein. So I did my Einstein voice, and the director seemed to like it. Then they offered me the part, so that was great. Wonderful to go and work with Matt Smith. So I loved doing it, and I had no idea that immediately all the fans would grab it as soon as it came out. So, of course, now I have a new bunch of followers who say, ah, but, you know, you were Einstein in Doctor Who. I think, well, it's just, let me say I was Einstein in Doctor Who, because I believe from other fans that there has been an Einstein character in some Doctor Who, the series in the past 500 years. So whoever played that one, God bless him, he can't be nearly as good as me, but I'm sure he was fantastic. So that's given me another bunch of followers, for which I'm very grateful.
Mammon, dear Mammon, please, we have visitors.
Visitors, you say?
I'm Stephen Critchlow, and I'm playing Nonny in the Gallery of Ghouls, and Nonny is very much a mummy's boy in the shadow of his mum, Madame Tissot, who runs a waxworks. And, yes, and very sort of frail and sort of gets easily flustered, you know, rather like me, so it's not much of a departure. But a nice part, quite a comedy part as well, really, which is good.
Billy Flint, isn't it? I don't know what your problem is.
You, Taylor. If you're not with us, you're against us.
Shouldn't be mixing with the likes of him. It ain't natural.
Well, for Big Finish, I did one with Peter Purvis and Gene Marsh, which is wonderful, and Peter Davidson, Colin Baker, and Louise Jameson, who I was madly in love with when I was, and still has those wonderful blue eyes. So you meet your heroes, and you have a fantastic day having a laugh and doing good scripts. And so you can't fault it. We're just saying in the green room, you know, where's the beef? What's not to like about it, really?
By the king's look alone, the crowd was silenced. Then, in full voice, he declared, I die innocent of all the crimes laid to my charge.
Hello, my name's Helen Goldwyn, and I am playing... I don't want to do any spoilers, but yes, she's not what she appears to be, and she's not of this world.
I take it, madame, that you and the robot have come to an arrangement?
She will not betray my secrets. I shall not betray hers.
On that basis, we have entered into a partnership.
In terms of the background work that I would do for playing a character like this, who's a 19th century French woman, I guess I would refer to any history that I know. Certainly I'm thinking about films that I've seen that reference that period in time. And there is a sort of... I'm standing differently in the studio because I'm trying to be very upright and that affects how the voice sounds, and I'm using gestures in quite a sort of elegant way. Not that anyone will see that, but that's the only way I can play the character, because I'm visualising that era when they were corseted and bewigged and standing in quite a particular way, and that informs how the voice sounds.
She has the hands of a true artist. She will help me build an all-new gallery of figure sculptures.
I flatter myself that I can be quite the attraction in my own right. No longer hidden away. I shall be... a sensation.
Obviously, the tone of the scripts that I am involved with they vary wildly, and sometimes I'm playing very sinister characters, and sometimes I'm playing lighter-hearted characters. And I think in this one, it's fair to say she would like to be taken seriously, and she would like to be sinister, and she is at times, but she is also slightly ridiculous, and there's a comedic element to that, and that really suits me, because I do an awful lot of comedy outside of the audio dramas. That's kind of my main thing.
I suppose I always find if scripts are taken very seriously and passionately, particularly Madame Mireille Tissot is very passionate about her work. The more serious and passionate she is, the more ludicrous the whole situation becomes. And that's always the way from Acorn Antiques onwards. If we hadn't been serious about what we were doing, and if I hadn't been serious as Miss Babs trying to run the shop, there would be nothing at stake. So, like with all comedies, I think you've got to be deadly serious about your path, I guess. I mean, listening to Tom Baker just now when I've done my first scene with him, he's naturally so hilarious, and you can sort of see his face while he's speaking, which I must say I relish.
This is certainly the funniest script, because you can have sci-fi and be funny. You can have funny elements within it. It doesn't all have to be very dour and dark and terrifying, although this has scary moments in it. It's nice that the comedy's released in it, and then you have to seize these moments. Like, you know, when you watch a Shakespeare play, people remember the funny bits. Maybe even if it's King Lear, you know, something will do something, and oh, yeah, and it sticks in the mind. So it's a very important thing, comedy, to oil the wheels of anything, any drama, really.
My soul lies absolutely in a contradictory direction. I'm an actor because of two really good reasons. One is that I was brought up in Liverpool seeing pantomime every Christmas, and there was a very famous comedian when I was a kid in the 50s called Al Reed, who was a brilliant comedian. And I remember seeing him as Buttons in Cinderella. And it's probably the costume, the blue suit and the gold buttons that made me want to play Buttons. I thought, oh, I want to be like him, I want to be. And then I was taken to Stratford-on-Avon when I was 8 to see Hamlet, and Michael Redgrave was playing Hamlet. So it was a combination of Al Reed, the comedian, giving his buttons, and Sir Michael Redgrave playing Hamlet that made me know I wanted to be an actor. So I've always been that kind of contradiction, if you like, as an actor. But I love comedy because the greatest thrill in the world is making an audience laugh, and to take an audience on a story, on a trip, on an adventure where they can laugh their way through the story. But on the other hand, you know, to play something tragic that people take very seriously is also very rewarding. So in a way, The Sheriff of Nottingham is a really good example of that. I was lucky to play that because they were willing me on to be nastier and crueler and crueler. And I'm not by nature a very cruel person. But to find elements of yourself that were pretty nasty within the show for Notting was fascinating to me. But I love them all. I love comedy. I don't do enough comedy because, in a way, they saw Anthony Blount as a rather sinister character, which he wasn't. And then, of course, the Sheriff of Notting was a villain. But I managed to get quite a lot of wit into that. So I enjoy it all. I'm a bit of a boring actor. I really enjoy it all.
Life can be serious or life can be funny, and you can switch from one to the other. And I don't really have a preference. I'm fairly conscious of the fact that a lot of the fan base has a preference. And there are people who really hate the funny stuff. There are people who absolutely loathed the including John Nathan Turner himself, who couldn't stand the sort of silly, the playing of Doctor Who for children, which is what Tom always loved and always, and I think was so good at, and felt very strongly that it was a programme for children. And because of that, adults found it sort of culty and interesting, like The Magic Roundabout or something. You know, when adults sort of latch on to a children's programme, they like it because it's a children's programme. If you then start playing to the adult audience, you've got a different sort of programme. And John Nathan Turner very much preferred the teenage and young adult and older adult audience, and really was deeply uninterested in children, I think. And so the fan base began to change in that era. And I think there were a lot of people who found the humour in Doctor Who that I enjoyed playing very much. Tom certainly did. I mean, there are people who couldn't bear the John Cleese and Eleanor Bron scene because they thought it was trivialising Doctor Who. Well, give me a break. You know, this isn't Shakespeare. And I think in real life you can have serious periods of time happening, and you can also be incredibly silly, and that's what life's about. And if you can't do both, then you're taking yourself too seriously, and I don't think you should. So I like the funny bits too, but I am conscious that some fans may find it extremely irritating.
I think it's a different set of disciplines, and it's a timing thing, and you look at the script and go, right, this is a comedy, obviously, and some nice things. And Ken's very good because he steers you in the direction of how he wants to go. It could be too hammy, not too over the top, and, you know, so, yes, and it is a very latter Fourth Doctor Who-style story, and it is all my Christmases coming at once, working with Tom Baker, because he was my Doctor, and I saw a lot of them, and... I know, I watched it religiously every Saturday, and certainly through his tenure. And it is, as I say, it's like Christmas Day. I mean, he's been holding court, really, and we're just sitting there, you know. It's been a wonderful day. And out of all the doctors I'd like, and it's been a delight working with all of them, but he's the man for me, really.
Tom was my doctor. I was really looking forward to working with him today. But somebody asked me recently, you know, do you get starstruck when you're working with these people that you've seen on the television over the years? And I don't get starstruck. I'm always delighted to meet these people because they always live up to my expectations and they've lived fascinating lives. I'm interested in meeting people who've lived fascinating lives. I'm not in the slightest bit bothered about how famous they are. It's just, are you a happy, interesting person? And have you got some fun anecdotes to regale us with in the green room? And Tom certainly has.
Of course, I'm at the end, towards the end of my career now. It's not imminent, but I'm old now. I have never been happier than I am, and reading these scripts and preparing them and coming in to record them with you all. Never been happier, and I have had some very happy experiences in the theatre, but never happier. It's just bliss, and you can tell it here, can't you, these actors. We won't meet again, very likely, most of us. I mean, they may be called back to other productions. I mean, they're all very serious actresses. I mean, Celia Imrie is an immense catch, isn't she? She's an actress of amazing power. And so charming and interesting as well. Oh, it's a marvellous, marvellous setup, yeah.